And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Angler U, the Belleville Meat Market in Boyd's One Stop. All right. Weather down in Galveston right now, it's 80 degrees down on the island. I hope some of you got some of that rain last night. I got a trace, that's about it. But anyway, today mainly sunny to start the day out with a few afternoon clouds. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible with a high of 84. Winds will be east 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then for tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 78. East southeast winds 10 to 15. And for tomorrow, sunny skies, 84. East northeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. There's four of them. We have a high coming up at 4:43 a.m., a 1.7, a low at 9:54 a.m., a 1.5, then a high at 1:05 p.m., a 1.6, and then a low at 9:12 p.m., an 0.2. 7:06 a.m. is sunrise, 7:20 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 16%. Current conditions right now offshore, the wave heights are like 1.6 feet with a period of 5 seconds, and pretty much across the bay, you got a south-southeast wind at 1 to 3 in Galveston. Eagle Point shows a northwest wind at 2 to 3. Morgan's Point north at 2. So calm and variable this morning. Another good start. And looks like water temps in all the areas are anywhere from 85 to 87 degrees. So really nice. All right, well, let's get to the phones now. Let's run over to the Golden Triangle area and check in with the man, Captain Bill Watkins, over at Sabine Lake, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm passable.
Passable?
Just, yeah,
up,
passable.
Up to par? Up to par, baby.
Yeah, up to par. There you go.
That's it.
But everything's going good over this way. I think I'm healing up a little bit.
Good.
And
I was going to ask you how that was going.
Yeah, it's okay.
The road to recovery.
Yeah, it's I'm not real sure how the result's going to wind up, but it's just one of those things where you go through a lot of pain and setbacks, but the last couple of days I felt pretty good.
Well, good.
I even went with my son to fish Rayburn yesterday.
Well, that's cool.
Oh, y'all, yeah.
Did y'all do any good?
Yeah, we caught some nice bass, but no big ones.
Right.
We were catching bass at 15 to 25 feet.
Dang.
Yeah, it's deep. The lake is low.
Yeah, they've been drawing that thing down, man.
Yeah, I wanted to fish it like that so I could see where the shallow spots are. And, they're really out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty curious.
Yeah, that thing's been full for a long time, and they've been drawing it down for 2 years now, trying to some kind of repair stuff they're doing at the dam, so.
Well, they've finished those repairs. There's no equipment around the dam at all.
Oh, okay.
And I think they're done.
Well, good.
So they're going to be filling it back up now. But it's the dry time of year, so.
Yeah, it is.
Who knows how that'll work out.
Well, spring's right around the corner after winter, and so that's a huge watershed. It catches a lot of water from up north of there.
But it's down to the level right now that when I first started fishing the lake,
mm-hmm.
It's 7 to 8 foot low. And that really was interesting. So I got to ride around. You can't cover the whole lake in one day. So what we did, we just rode around and on the southern end of the lake and just looked at everything. and didn't fish that much, but you know, we were mostly just scouting it out, seeing where the shallow water is. You'll find some places out there on farmers' flats and need more, where it's right. 3 foot deep, and you wouldn't think it was like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's a little bit over 7 feet below pool.
Yep. That's what we saw. And but it's pretty neat. But I don't know, my son caught one on a soft plastic, and he caught one on a rattle trap, and he caught one on a small one on a jig. I couldn't even believe that. But all of my fish were real solid fish. And so
Are you rubbing it in there, Bill?
Yeah. You could say that I beat him, but numbers-wise, he was right there with me.
Yeah, you got him on tonnage.
Yeah, I did get him on tonnage. But, we caught fish. I threw a quarter-ounce Carolina rig.
Yeah.
And drug it down at 21 feet. That's where, off of steep drops right on points, mm-hmm. way down there. And that seemed to be where there was the fish. Now, early we caught some off of brush pile, and I guess it must have been 15 feet. That was a brush pile that normally would have water on it about 20, 22 foot deep. But
right.
Yesterday it was 15 feet, but they seemed to be around that one. But we left them, you know, we just catch a couple and leave and go see something else. You know, you just have one day to ride around. I'm going to have to get back to work here pretty quick, so...
Yeah, I know that kind of put a damper on the crappie fishing at times this summer, you know, with drawing that lake down like that. I don't think they like that draw.
No, I think my brother said that he's a crappie fisherman. He said that it hadn't been good for him. And he talked to a friend of his that's really a pro at it, and he said he went out the other day and caught 5 off brush piles. So I don't know what it's done to those fish, but, you know, probably it's probably just upset them and made them start following shad schools.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're doing. You know, if you do a quick drawdown like that, that upsets the whole world.
Did you get any of that rain last night? And I was watching come from your area towards me going, oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It yeah, we did.
It looked like Bolivar and, you know, south of me got all the rain.
But not Umbrella Point, right?
No. I think it was, I got about a foot between drops. It was very brief. Wasn't much. The thunder sounded good, though. Watching the lightning in the dark, but that's about it. Normal protocol for where I live in the summer. Same old thing every year.
That was a lightning show at our house.
I bet it was.
Pretty good wind. I mean, it came up all of a sudden. I wasn't watching the radar, so I didn't realize it was even coming. But boy, here it was.
Well, I was watching Astros game, and I had the curtains open, and I back to the east, and I thought I saw a lightning bolt, so I picked my phone up, and I go, oh, man, look at this coming at us. This is going to be awesome. Didn't get it. Missed me. Oh, well.
I guess it's getting pretty dry at your place then.
Oh, yeah. It's it crackles in the grass when you walk around in the yard.
Boy, mine's not like it. I've been getting just as... Oh, I'm getting just enough rain to keep everything growing. I have to mow every 4 days.
Yeah.
And that's too much. Poor old lawnmower hasn't had a good wash job all summer. It's filthy. I'm sure it's got a lot of dust in the filter and everything else.
Yeah, when
but
it's dry.
You got to do what you
like
got to do.
Yeah, that filter.
Yeah.
You got to take it out there and clean it out a little bit. I usually do just a one-year thing, you know, just order the tune-up and oil change kit and every spring and do it. And it, man, you pull the spark plugs out of these and you go, why am I changing these plugs? They look like they just came out of the box. It burns clean. But I do it anyway. Part of the game of being a lawn engineer, man.
Yeah, that sounds good. Lawn engineer.
Lawn engineer.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
And a mower technician. Kind of like owning a boat.
Well,
you got to know how to do everything.
The last time I fished was a week ago, and I haven't had a chance to get back out there, but it's soon coming. I've got a bunch of trips lined up, and I'm going to have to get with it, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
But I've got a bunch of trips coming up.
Do you? Good.
So I've got to get well.
Yeah.
I'm still crippling around a little bit, but yesterday we got out there on Rayburn, and I had a pretty good day. I didn't feel bad really at all. So I think I'm healing up, and looks like it's going to be perfect.
Well, maybe you'll get it turned around just in time for the fall run when that kicks off.
Yeah, because I've got a whole bunch of trips booked for the fall run. So, oh man. Yeah,
we've
I've got to get well.
We've got a few fish shallow over this way, you know, in certain areas, which they're always there this time of year. But the bulk, the majority of the fish, they're still deep. I mean, there's not a – that we get about two or three little cool fronts in here and get that water down in the 70s, and a lot of these fish will come to the shorelines, you know, move up. But right now it's just it's kind of spotty on trout, unless you're there at the right time. You know, when you're fishing those deep pads and all that and gas wells and all, you got to have the right current at the right time, you know, to get the good bite. And
well, you know, like I told you, the last time I fished, I think it was last Tuesday, we caught fish 16, 17 foot deep.
You were telling me that. That's deep.
Yeah.
Well, one time you caught them in like 21 or something.
23 feet.
Or 23? That's nuts. I never caught a
dead
trout
down
that
on
deep
the
before.
Bottom. Yeah, I had to,
well, I never tried. That's probably why I've never caught one that deep. I've never tried.
I had a half-ounce gumball sinker on.
Yep.
I'd get it on down, put that
get
little John on there. And, oh,
right.
Man.
Let me take this commercial break, Bill.
All right,
I'll come right back to you. Hang with me, brother. All right. Angler U, they're committed to steadily expanding their library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. They have weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers, and they all have decades of experience. And they're expanding their library of videos. They cover all topics. That way they're archived so you can see patterns over time, along with educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing. For speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and tarpon, whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, it's real easy. Go to anglerU.com. You can become a member today. You'll receive great discounts from their partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. This will save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com. That's anglerU.com. And improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill. We are back at it.
Well, I'm back with you. So it's hunting season coming up.
Yep.
Squirrel season starts October 1st.
Right. And teal season starts this Saturday morning at sunrise.
Oh, that's right.
Or 30 minutes before sunrise, to be specific. But that starts, and then bow season, you know, in October, then deer season in November. Here we go. It's already here. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yep. It is crazy. We've gone through this year like, you know, water through a goose.
I thought it was just me, but everybody goes, man, this summer flew by. It's already, I mean, we're past it for the most part.
Yeah.
It still feels like summer at times. It got pretty warm yesterday.
Yeah, here we go again. Another hunting season. I got some hunts already scheduled.
You got some good plans lined up?
Yeah, but, you know, usually we just do doe hunts nowadays.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it for the meat. You ain't horn hunting. Might as well kill a doe. You know, a lot of them it has to be done.
I've got a pile of horns out in the barn and, you know. But the meat out of the does is definitely better every time. So, and the quality of the hunt is just as good.
Yeah, you still get
ignore
hold.
Those.
That's it.
Ignore those big antlers. Yeah.
Keep that gun in the corner when them big horns come out. Avoid the temptation.
I got to where I can look at them and really enjoy just looking at them. Mm. Watch them do what they do. And once you get one on the ground, that's a big old pile of meat.
You make a mess, you know.
Yeah.
You call them up, say, well, come pick me up, man. I just made a mess. Bring
yeah,
your gloves.
That's right. I would like to hunt antlers one more time, but I'm having so much fun on these meat hunts.
Yeah.
It's not near as serious. Don't have to worry about it as much. And you go to the right places and get you some pretty good deals on some pretty good does.
Sure.
And every once in a while, an axis doe, when I can find one.
That's even
better.
They're
really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, and every once in a while I have a shot at a red hind, and that's a big old pile of meat right there.
Yeah, it is.
But I hadn't shot one in the last year or so. Those get pretty pricey. But they sure are
tasty.
Yeah, they are good. Yeah,
no. Elk meat is really good. Have you ever eaten moose?
No, I have not, and I would love
far enough north to get any moose meat, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah, they say it is. I mean, you kill one of those 7-foot-tall rascals.
Now, that's making a real mess right there, buddy. That's some cleaning.
Oh, you're talking about a real mess. And usually you have to backpack it out.
It's like shooting a horse.
Yeah, at least. Oh, man. Yeah, but I look at those things on those shows, and they're massive. Oh,
they are.
Good. That's an incredible animal. But,
it really is.
You know, down here, we have to shoot what we can get.
Our whitetails look like jackrabbits compared to those moose, you know.
They sure do.
They really do. It's incredible how big a difference it is.
But I just
heard that's some quality meat. A lot of people up north, they can't wait for moose season, and they can feed their whole family all year off that meat.
That's right.
Or how do they say it nowadays? Yeah. Protein. Lots of protein.
Protein. Yeah, protein. I love, you know, I grind that a lot of that deer meat up and mix it at least 50-50 with beef. Mm-hmm. And if I can get that fat content up to about 25%, man, let me tell you, that's some of the best. We pulled a package out the other day. It'd been in there for 10 months and thawed that stuff out, about a pound and a half package of meat. And I grilled some burgers on the pit. Man, you talk about good meat.
Really?
I mean, it is just, it's a little bit better than beef and a little bit better than venison for sure.
Right.
But the mix together, man, that's just, that's some really, really good tasting stuff.
What do you mix with it? Brisket?
Brisket or lots of good fat. You know, I have one processor do some for me, and he mixes beef trimmings, and I just tell him to mix some extra fat in there, get it up to about 25% fat.
Yeah.
And boy, it comes together right there. Yeah, but a good brisket, you can slice that up and then you get the biggest, fattest brisket you can find.
Yeah, I got to have a good head on it, you bet.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's got a lot of fat on it, and ones you know, normally you'll pick a brisket to cook that'll bend all the way over.
Uh-huh.
You can fold it up, and it's really, that's the one you want to cook. But you buy the one that's got that great big old fat chunk in it.
Yeah.
And that way you'll get your fat content up in your deer. You know, because deer is lean.
It doesn't have a lot of fat in it. Yeah, you got to cut it down a little, you know.
But you get that
juicy burgers.
Yeah, fat content up to about 25%, and boy, that's perfect.
Yeah. Man, you're making me hungry already.
Yeah.
I love deer burgers. I cook them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know I've got a hand tenderizer, and I'll run those steaks through that tenderizer about three or four times.
Right.
And boy, you talk about some good steaks. Yeah, you just run them crossways and one way and then the other, and do them four times. And man, that thing, you just kind of keep it cranking.
Yeah.
And you can do it. You can do all the steaks out of a deer in just a little while. You know, it takes about 5 or 10 minutes. And you keep that thing turning. And boy, you put that slice of meat through there at least three or four times.
Yeah.
And I even tenderize my stew meat. And boy, you talk about some good stew meat. You already got it tenderized, and you slow cook that.
Right.
Man. Oh, you talk about some good stuff.
You know, my wife will do backstrap in a crock pot, kind of like doing beef tips.
Yeah.
You know, with a gravy in there. Oh, man, that is so good. It'll just melt in your mouth.
Yep.
So tender, and that flavor. You get that good venison flavor with it. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but...
won't be long. You'll be having fresh squirrel and rice or whatever you like to make.
Oh, yeah, squirrel and rice.
Squirrel and rice.
I don't do dumplings. I prefer, you know, trying to...
That's what Cap Benny likes, squirrel and dumplings.
Yeah. Limb well, they are good.
Limb chicken.
Yep. There ain't nothing better than squirrel if you cook it right.
Good young, tender cat squirrel.
Yeah, or if you cook it in a pressure cooker for about 45 minutes, it'll break it down.
Yeah.
You'll be able to suck the meat off the bone.
Like a young cottontail.
Yeah. Actually, I prefer the squirrel, but it is good.
I mean, tender-wise, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you pressure cook it for 45 minutes, some of it, the young ones will fall off the bone.
Oh, yeah.
And that just, then you go through there and kind of pick the bones out and cook your pot of rice in there with onions, Oh, man. Oh. Put a little Tony Sacheries in there.
Seasoned
yeah, that's
taste.
That's right. Oh, I love those things. But to me, it's better than chicken. But I'm sure a lot of people would disagree.
Well, everybody has their own opinions and taste. That's
true.
That's why you cook what you like. All right, Bill. Well, man, get healed up. Fall runs right in front of us. It won't be long. We're going to be hitting it hard.
Coming right along.
I'm ready. I'm ready for a couple of cool
fronts. I'm ready to go.
Start hitting it hard again.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of trips booked in October. And
plus, I'm ready to do some crabbing, too.
Oh, you know what?
Put me some traps out. I'm ready to do some crabbing.
I'm going to take my wife and some leg quarters on a string. And we're going to run over there and get us.
You're going to do it the old-fashioned hard way, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we like to sit around and do that.
Right.
She gets a kick out of it.
Right.
And she gets eyeball to eyeball with those crabs and right before she puts them in the net.
That'll work. That takes skill, man. You got to pull it up just right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to have your string just right. And, you know, your chicken's got to be below the sinker. And there's a technique to it.
Yes, there is. All right.
But anyway, buddy.
All right. Throw your number out. Somebody wants to come see you.
Yeah. 409-673-9211.
All right,
and,
Bill.
Fish Sabine Lake on the web.
All right, my friend. Have a good
Take
day,
care,
Bill.
Buddy.
Good talking to you. See you, man. Later. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and the best place I know to have wild game processing done anywhere in these parts. The Belleville offers, you know, pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage and all their different varieties of homemade hot dogs, original and with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And their chuck wagon patties, try these out. Half-pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And while you're there, check out all their grab-and-go snacking products like their beef jerky and turkey jerky, dry sausage and dry sticks, and their wild game processing facility. It's open year-round. They never close. And they got all good kinds of products they put out. Deer tamales, venison hot dogs, plus the way you like your sausage and your burger, your family will love that you got your processing done at the Belleville. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:35. Let's run up to Lake Conroe now and check in with the old fish dude, old Richard Tosh, Fish Dude's Guide Service. Richard, good morning, man. What's up?
Well, good morning. Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
I couldn't be better. I'm doing good. Fine. Thanks for even asking.
Good deal, good deal. You can't get no better than that.
Nah.
Man, I tell you what, them bass are fine. I'm finally figuring out a few of them anyway. Been out catching.
Where you caught some decent bass this week?
Yeah, it ain't too bad. So
on a 12-foot worm.
Said
12 foot to 12 inches. Some big worms, baby.
They're hungry. They're hungry, man. I tell you what, that's all right. It's one of them things. Hit the wrong dang button.
Wonder why those bass like those bigger worms in the summer, you know, in the heat when the water's warm like that. And in the spring,
I don't know.
You have to size it down, you know, like 6 inch, 8 inch.
I know. That's crazy. I don't get it. Them sunguns. Man,
I would think it'd be just the opposite. Bigger bait in the spring and then, you know, a smaller bait in the summer. That's kind of way our bite is on trout and reds. Kind of tumbling down in the heat.
I know. I can't figure out why in the heck they do that either, but it usually starts about June, all throughout the summer months. Some rascals they'll start going on those bigger baits like that, or the bigger worms anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, like I had some. I've been catching them on square bills and stuff like that along the rocks and things like that. And, you know, just doing some different stuff. But the bigger ones, you know, they're doing different things. You know, like that big worm. I decided yesterday, I said, I'm gonna start flipping around with this thing and see what I can come up with. And got a couple of nice bites on it. And then finally got that one that's around 5.5. And I thought, well, what the heck? I'm going to keep chunking it a little bit. So kept chunking it around and caught several of them on it. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of late in the year. You know, normally this time of year, I start trying to downsize a little bit, you know, and you know, just, but the water temperature is not coming down. That's the thing. You know, it's still in the 80s. So
yeah,
when that water temperature's still up like that, I'm just keep chunking that big bait. They want it. I'll chunk it at them. There ain't no doubt. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that you just play around with and you figure it out. You know, I was catching something on a bladed jig too. So a little bit of everything's working. You know, and that's like yesterday, I was sitting there in this one little old spot and I'm using my forward facing sonar, that Lowrance Active Target. I'm spinning it around out there and I'm chugging at some structure along the shoreline, and I'm thinking, you know, there ought to be some fish around here. And I spin around and look, and about 20 yards offshore, there's some fish out there. And it's like, okay, I chunked at them and caught one about 3.5 pounds and got to looking. And all it was in the shadow of a tree, you know, where the shadow was hitting the water. So it's like, okay, they're hanging in the shade. So that's what I'll do, start targeting some of that shady
bass.
I mean, it's funny how they'll do that sometimes. Just a shadow on the water and they'll be in it, you know. And it's like, that's crazy, because I used to do that over at the Trinity River a lot, over on Lake Livingston. You could throw a buzzbait all day long, just hit the shadows, you know, every shadow you see, throw that buzzbait out there, and you catch fish all day long on it, you know, because they just hang in that shade. And it's just a strange thing. But those Trinity River fish, they stay shallow anyway. I mean, that's one thing about over there. Those rascals, they stay up in less than 5 foot of water for the most part. Now, on the main lake down there, a lot of times they'll get out a little bit deeper. But for the most part, all along the Trinity River, no matter where you're at, you can fish anything less than 5 foot deep and you'll catch bass all the time. I mean, they live there. That's what they do. And it's, you know, it's one of those things like up in, Carolina Creek, for example. It's a narrow creek. It's got, you know, it's maybe 15 yards wide total at, you know, up in the creek. Now, the main body of the creek, it's wider than that, but it's not, the channel's not very wide. But I used to get in there because that creek channel would snake around, you know, have lots of bends in it. Mm-hmm. And you get all those deeper bends and flip a jig up in the, it's got a lot of reeds up there along the shoreline. And you get up there and flip them reeds whenever the water's up in them. And, man, you catch the heck out of some bass up there just flipping a jig in those reeds like that. And it's always fun doing that, because when you flip it in there, you set reeds shake. If there was a fish in there, it'd start shaking. And when it'd shake, you better get ready, because he's fixing to nail your jig. And it's, you know, that was just one way of spotting those fish when they were up there, is that it would, you know, they'd just always, you'd flip that jig or worm up in there and they'd just start, that reed just start shaking. And it's like, okay. And then he'd nail it. And it's like, that's a blast. It's fun when you catch them like that, where you've got the visuals side of it too, you know, where you can see them kind of moving through that grass. They used to do that over
wiggling
Gibbons
that grass
a lot.
Coming after your bait. Hang on to the pump, baby.
I guarantee you, it'd be
did
on
you
in your
ever
world.
Did you get your new bass boat?
I did. I've been fishing out of it for about 2 weeks now. I love that thing, man. I tell you what, it's that extra. You know, the thing is, like I say, with that old one that I've got, that 520. And then now I've got the 521, and it's that extra foot in length just is so much more comfortable. You know, it's not as quick as that 20 footer, but you know, that's one of the things. You know, it's the 20 footer I got, I call it my midlife crisis. I went from a 21 down to that 20 just to, because, well, I had the 21 before, and that thing was
speed.
I know. That's exactly what it was, too, because it's like that 20-footer goes about 3 to 4 miles an hour faster than that 21. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I don't need it to go that fast no more. I can slow back down. I mean, it's one of those things where the 21-footer is so much more comfortable in rougher water, and, you know, the 21 or the 20-footer is so much faster, you know, no matter what. But it's still a good ride, don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, I'm getting too old to be running around like that. It's just I'll get back into that comfortable boat, and that this new 21-footer is nice. I'll tell you what, I like it. So it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Now I just got to get rid of this 20-footer I got, so it's all good. I got the wrap off of it now, so it had it wrapped up to try to protect it as much as possible. So that's the main thing.
How hard is it to pull that wrap off?
Oh,
get somebody
my gosh.
To buy it for you, did you do it yourself?
Well, I pulled the majority off. I pulled it all off, but the adhesive, there's some adhesive that stuck to it, and I just couldn't get it off, so I took it to this guy, and he's taking that adhesive off it because it gets in the little cracks, the little bends and contours on the boat, mm-hmm. And I just don't want to mess it up. Because that's the thing. I put it on there to protect it, but I don't want to mess it up.
Like acetone or what?
I don't know. You know, I'm going to ask him whenever I pick it up. Because like I say, when it came to that, it's like, I don't want to use the wrong thing to mess it up. Yeah. So I'm going to let somebody knows what they're doing do it. So he's still got it right now. And once I pick it up from him, I'm going to say, hey, what'd you use to get it off of there? You know, because that way I'll know on the next one. But I don't know if I'm going to wrap the next one or not. You know, I mean, I enjoy the wraps because they do protect your boat.
They
That's
do.
One
they,
thing.
It cuts down on the scratches and nicks and stuff.
Right. But it is a pain trying to pull that stuff off of there. Granted, it's as long as it's warm out, it's not too bad, you know, because it just heated up and it kind of peels right off of there. But not like I say where that adhesive kind of grabs it in the bend.
You have to use a heat gun or what?
No, you know? No, you can just pull it off. I mean, whenever you get
let it sit, you know,
I let it sit out in the sun all day, and then late in the evening, right before the sun start going down, I'd get to pulling on it, you know. And it didn't take that long. It took me probably two and a half hours to get it all off of there. But like I say, that just that adhesive in those different little crevices and stuff, it just I actually used WD-40 on it trying to get some of it to come off of there, and it got some of it off. But it it was one of those deals where it was going to take forever, and I thought, well, I'm going to take it to somebody who knows what they're doing rather than me guessing. You know, so it's that it's one of those things where. It's fine, you know. It's like the new boat. It was wrapped up too, and there's still adhesive on it, but it's not near as bad because this wrap on the new one, it only was on there from from January all the way up till August, so it hadn't been on there a super long time. Where mine had been on there
on my boat, my wrap's been on there forever.
Yes, that's the way it was with that 520 I got. Yeah. That thing was. Man, that thing had been on there for about 2.5-3 years,
when probably about 8 or 9.
yep. When you pull it off of there, I guarantee you, when you pull it off, you're gonna any of
I
those. Won't,
I'll,
bins,
I'll pay somebody to do it.
It's a lot of work. I guarantee you, there ain't no doubt. So, but when you get it done, it's you're gonna look nice afterwards. I mean, that's the thing. So, it's one of those deals where it just maintains the look of it. You know, that's like with mine, you know, that's one of the reasons I put it on there, other than, you know, you do your advertising through it. You know, like mine was the Bass Assassin wrap, and it looked like a big old fish is what it looked like. So it's
I got a speckled trout wrap on mine with a.
There you go.
It looks pretty cool. All right, buddy, I got to run. I got to go check in with old Charlie P. If somebody wants to call you, Richard, give them some info how they can reach you, my friend.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dude Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Catch him up.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Later. All right. All right, let's hop down the coast now. Let's go down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Charlie, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm here. It's all good.
Yeah.
Back in the saddle?
Yep. We've had a pretty stretch of weather.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Well, we had a pretty good stiff north wind come up on Tuesday morning. You know, about 8 o'clock it started puffing up. I'm going, man, look at this north wind. But it sure has been nice. Really has.
I haven't fished much this week since the weekend, but I get back at it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been many people fishing over here, Mickey, but what few are, I mean, it's no problem catching fish.
Yeah.
You know, September's a good month. And, you know, these redfish start showing back up.
Yeah, the redfish, and we've seen a lot of redfish caught right now.
Right. Been seeing a lot of big flounder caught, too.
Yeah, that's starting to come, too. When you get a few fronts coming in, flounder fishing will pick up along with everything else. It's only going to get better.
It's just absolutely hard to believe it's September, halfway through September already.
I know.
Jesus
18th
Christ.
Already. Where'd summer go? It went by quick today, this year. Really did.
Well, you blink your eyes twice, it's going to be Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, what do we got? 9 baseball games left in regular season. So,
man, it's
winding down. NFL
that's
kicking
one
in,
thing.
Baseball
it's,
moving out.
It's a great time of the year for sports, man. I mean,
it is.
You know, well, fish all morning,
sports,
and you got
whole 9 yards.
Football, baseball, playoffs. Plenty to keep you busy this time of year. Now, fishing's good over here. It's just you got to go. You got to have you got to have some customers to go.
That's it. You've had plenty of practice.
Yeah. There ain't much else to say about it. The bays are full of fish. There's no doubt about it. This fall just ought to be exceptional. And the good part about it is it's the same way all up and down the coast. Everybody's got plenty of fish at their own locations, and they're not moving around. And, you know, there's not a lot of people around, and the hunting season starts. It's less people on the water, so good time of the year.
Everybody's going to spread out.
Yeah. Yep.
Cliff Webb sent me a picture yesterday. You remember the Saturday when I was talking to him, he was talking about all the hardheads in the surf, all balled up. He sent me a picture. It's unbelievable. It's millions of them in big old piles on top of the water. And the surf was rough, and you can still see it good in the photo.
You know, I used to see that a lot around greens in late summer. They'd start balling up like that, but I've never seen that in the surf.
Wonder why they do that.
But this crazy year, who knows? Let a shark open his mouth and take them all.
Yeah. Eat them all.
Yeah.
Dynamite them.
Well, our Astros are going to be up for the test of this next stretch with the Mariners.
We passed test number one. I mean, we kept the silver boot, too. Had to sweep them to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that game night before last was a little scary.
Well, last night got kind of scary, too, when Okert walked two, and I'm going, here we go in the eighth inning. Same as not last night. I'm going, no, I can't take another one. But
that's right.
But we shut them down. That's
we need a shutdown for this next series. But
hey, no matter how pretty or how ugly it is, it's a win is a win.
That's right. Well, they've been entertaining for the whole year. It was a good run.
Hey, it's been fun watching all these rookies come up and what they've done. And, I mean, it just for us to still be in first place after all the
injuries,
injured list, all the injuries and everything. It's just, hey, they got heart.
They do.
Scrappy.
They do.
Yeah, the Royals came back on the Mariners last night. Man, I saw that in the eighth inning where the Mariners went ahead on a two-run homer or something, 4-3, and I said, oh, man. But, hey, here come the Royals in the bottom of the eighth, and they scored four runs, I think, or whatever it was. I think it ended up 7-5. I think the Mariners scored one more in the ninth. But
yeah.
That helped.
Yeah, I saw that. I hope
cool them off a little bit before they get into town tomorrow or tonight.
I'd like to see them lose every game.
They'll be coming in tonight.
Yeah. Yep. At least we got some good baseball to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mariners are a good team.
Yep. And we've certainly had them
when we're playing up to our potential.
Yeah, but you never know when that is.
And bats are streaky, aren't they?
Oh, I'm telling you, when they go dead, they go dead.
We might get Paredes back this weekend, too.
What are we going to do with him?
Well, DH him. Put him in Yordan's spot.
Yeah, that's a shame on Yordan. But
yeah, that was a freak deal the other night when he stepped on home plate running in like that to beat that throw. And now I bet he wish he'd have slid, but his cleats hit that plate just right, and he slid, and his foot slipped and turned that ankle all the way over. I kept replaying it, rewinding. I said, man, he might have broke that thing, but he didn't.
Yeah. He's a big boy. Ain't no doubt about it. Yeah. Things can happen like that real easily.
Big guys get injured. They're more injury prone than those little guys like Altuve. Little durable.
Yeah, buddy, he don't get many like that. He's something else.
I loved watching him swing the bat.
Yep. He goes to that plate with confidence in his eyes.
That's it. Pure hitter, man.
Yep.
All right, Charlie P. Well, go Astros and get back on the water and kill a few more. Thin them out a little bit. They're getting thick now.
Yeah.
It's hard to thin them out when you can only keep three, but, hey, that's what it is. Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and fish with you this fall, Charlie. Get in on it.
713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good one. I'll talk to you Saturday. Catch them up.
Take care, Mickey.
Later. All right. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.